Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, and we're here until 5 a.m. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking music, obviously, with in a couple of seconds here. Jim Ryan's going to be joining us to talk music, and then we're going to talk about the best musical guest performances in SNL history and maybe some of the worst. We'll get into that. We wanted to keep the music theme going. And then we're going to debut. Skip Skipley's on the way, and we're going to debut our new game called For the Record, which will be a battle between Esmeralda and myself, and similar to the pop-up video battles that we used to do. So, but before that, we want to welcome Jim Ryan to the show. He's a music journalist. You can read him in the Daily Herald. His Chicago Now blog is Chicago at Night. You can see him do traffic in various outlets, and you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. He always keeps busy, and we always like to talk music with him. And we welcome Jim to the show. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
Wait a minute. Let's try that. How's that?
I think that's better.
There you go. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. How about you?
All right. All right. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And you've been writing about music now for a while, huh?
Yes. God, almost 20 years. Jeez.
Yeah?
All the way back to college, yeah.
All the way back to college. can you remember some of the first things that you wrote?
Yeah. Going back to Eastern Illinois University in 1998, 1999, reviewed a Marilyn Manson album.
Wow.
Mechanical Animals. Reviewed Better Than Ezra albums, an album by the Sundays.
Wow, we're going back, man.
The Murmurs. Mm. A lot of alternative stuff there in the late 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
That was a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time to write about music. Yeah. So, well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about here. Now, the last time you were here,
yes,
you did end up playing a clip of you talking with Rick Astley.
The great Rick Astley.
The great,
yes.
Rick Astley. And you asked him for me what he thought of Sting. And he said he was a legend. Sting was a...
He did. You guys are in the same camp.
That's exactly right.
Great minds.
Great minds think alike. That's exactly right. But you did do a Q&A interview with him.
I did.
And you saw him at the House of Blues.
He was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, was he?
So he has an album out that came out last year, actually, and on it he wrote all of the songs, played every instrument on all of the songs, sang them, and recorded them in his basement. So he's, you know, kind of the low rent prince. But I had no idea he played all these instruments. So at House of Blues, he played drums on an AC/DC cover and sang.
What?
Handled the Bon Scott parts.
What song?
Highway to Hell.
They played Highway to Hell. Uh-huh. Rick Astley played Highway to Hell.
I put the video on my Facebook page. It's fantastic.
Wow, okay.
He handled guitar and vocals on a cover of Everlong by Foo Fighters.
What's going on here?
he took it down a notch by covering Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
But yeah, he did. Then he did, you know, he had a full band up there. I think it was a six-piece band, two background vocalists. I mean, it certainly defied all of my expectations.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, did everybody go nuts when he played Never Gonna Give You Up?
He opened the show with Together Forever and then he closed the show with Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay.
And, I mean, he doesn't have a ton of material that to draw from that people know, so...
He did have a ballad that I liked.
He had, yeah, he did it. Cry, something like cry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that song.
So do I. That was actually pretty good. And then live with the backing vocalists, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
that was one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all right, good for Rick Astley.
Yeah,
and he was a fun guy to talk to.
You know what? He's got a fantastic outlook because I mean, he talked about at first not being real sure how to handle the whole idea of kind of being an internet joke. And that it was his daughter who talked sense into him, you know, who was 15 at the time, just said this could be anybody. Don't take it seriously. Just laugh at it.
Yeah.
It's just a song. And, you know, he embraced it and kind of has done one or two things here and there to kind of take advantage of it. But I think it's turned into a second act.
Yeah, no, it has. You know, I mean, obviously, if he's, you know, if he's touring around, he's playing House of Blues and
right.
stuff like that. He's got a good sense of humor about it. But I really don't think that the whole Rickrolled thing is an insult to him.
Yeah, that's he said he wasn't,
you know what
sure
I mean?
At
it's,
first how to,
no.
to kind of wrap his head around it.
No. Well, first of all, everybody loves that song.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's, you know, and I'm saying in all seriousness,
no,
I love that song.
I do too.
And I don't mind if I get Rickrolled because I like the song. So I don't think it's really, I really don't think it's insulting to him at all or to the song.
No, he's really
it's
got
funny.
I wish more musicians had, you know, his outlook.
Yeah.
He's very grateful for everything and very humble. And he's got a fantastic sense of humor. I mean, he, What we talked about was the level of irony. I mean, you know, you figure in the early 90s there, he retired at 27 years of age in 1993. Never Gonna Give You Up went to number one in 87, and he retired in 93. Because by that point, you had those alternative bands kind of sweeping his generation of pop stars, you know, totally aside. He's popped up at all these festivals now over the last year, year and a half. In a couple of them, he was on the same bill as the Foo Fighters. So the Foo Fighters had worked up, when they saw that he was on the bill, they had worked up kind of a Smells Like Teen Spirit, Never Gonna Give You Up mashup. And Dave Grohl kind of tells a story that he looked over midway through the set. This was in their set already. They had planned it.
Yeah.
And sees Rick Astley watching from the side of the stage, had no idea it was going to happen, and just walked over to him in the middle of the set like, hey, later on, we're doing your song. And Rick was like, well, all right, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
No rehearsal, nothing.
And he just and he came out
he
and
came out
it.
And sang it.
That's
and,
great.
You know, but we talked about the level of irony of, you know, Nirvana swept that him aside, and here he is now on these giant festival stages singing that song with a member of Nirvana.
Now, was this the first time you've ever seen Rick Astley?
Yeah, this was the first time he's toured America since 1989.
Are you kidding me?
The last time he was here, he was with Martika at Poplar Creek.
Martika.
I said to him, I go, the venue you were at last time doesn't even exist anymore.
Right.
And he just started laughing.
Right. What was Martika's one hit?
Toy Soldiers.
Toy Soldiers, that's right. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah. And then he told me a story about randomly running into Martika in Iceland. It wound up being her first festival appearance in like umpteen years. He goes, we hadn't seen each other in decades, and lo and behold, here we crossed paths.
She, on my 40th birthday.
Okay.
I thought it would be apropos. This was in 2005 on my 40th birthday. I thought it would be apropos to see Pat Benatar.
Okay.
Because, you know, it just makes sense. You turn in 40. I grew up listening to Pat Benatar. I saw her like 7 times in concert.
Okay.
And we went to House of Blues, and I had connections at House of Blues, so we had a nice suite. And it was,
nice.
You know, 40th birthday. A bunch of people went, my girlfriend and everybody, and we're all there. And, you know, very excited to see Pat Benatar. Well, at this point, because Pat Benatar is now always billed Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo.
Right.
It's like, dude, pull back a little bit. I know you're her husband, and you wrote a lot of some of the songs and stuff, and you play guitar, but we came to see her. Dude,
yeah.
You know? So, and he just was yabbering throughout the whole show.
He was?
Yeah, she did too, but he did. There was just too much him.
Okay.
So, anyway, Martika opened.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
So
and
you
so,
see Martika.
So, yeah. So, and I was like, who the hell is that? And my friend Scott was like, that's Toy Soldiers, man. That's Martika.
Holy cow.
But she wasn't she wasn't billed as Martika.
Okay.
It was a band. And she was in it.
She was in it.
Yeah. And they didn't do Toy Soldiers.
That was my next question.
No, they did not do Toy Soldiers. And my friend Scott was very upset. But they introduced the band, and he's like, that's Martika. And he knew it right away before they even introduced it.
That's amazing that he actually was able to pick that
up. Oh, no.
I don't think I would be.
This guy's a geek.
Okay.
Yeah, a total geek. Anyway, Pat Benatar was great. And
I've never seen her. I would like to see her.
Oh, I've seen her. But I saw her in her prime, you know, in the early 80s.
Sure.
And
where was she at in the early 80s here, out of curiosity?
I saw her a couple times at Rosemont.
Okay. Wow.
Allstate.
Allstate.
Poplar Creek. I saw her at Poplar Creek.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the first time I saw her was at the amphitheater.
Wow.
Very early on. You know, like, I mean, this is like 1980s. Amphitheater closed down in the early 80s, I think?
No, it made it to the 90s.
Did it really?
One of the last shows at the amphitheater, believe it or not, was Snoop Dogg.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Wow. Okay, well, then it might have been the mid-80s then, early 80s. And I was very excited because I saw Pat Benatar and on one of the tours, Saga opened for him.
Okay.
Open for her, and I was beside because Saga. I love Saga. They're I love that band, and we have kind of a running joke on the show about how much I love Saga.
Right.
And we discovered this is you might be interested in this, Dan. Don't you think that Jim would be interested in this little tidbit of information?
Mm-hmm.
We joke about Saga all the time on the show,
right.
How much I love them, and like they had like one kind of hit on the loose, and you know, and but I maintained, you know, and they're from Canada, so we always talk about how, you know, Canada should, you know, they should name cities after Saga. It's one of these things where we're like,
sure.
So now everybody on the show, you know, knows my love for Saga and that they're from Canada. I always talk about, I go out of my way to talk about how they're Canadian.
Okay.
And Dan was looking up some facts. What was it, Dan, exactly what led to this?
They are actually, they had their final tour, but they show, and they're going to do one more show in the fall.
That's what it was. They had their final show
they're
in Toronto.
Together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they've gone through a lot of changes, but this is the original lineup. Michael Sadler back singing.
Okay.
It's terrifying that I know the guy's name. Yeah. But anyway, they had their final farewell saga show in Toronto. But then we found out that they're going to do one more show in Puerto Rico, and I was like, what?
I've always loved when these weird things happen.
Exactly.
Like, because I interviewed Speech from Arrested Development last week. They're coming to House of Blues next week.
Oh, cool.
And they have the huge following in Japan. Like, they put out releases in Japan and sell, like, millions of copies, where here, like, nobody buys records anymore.
Right.
But, like, a gigantic portion of their income comes from the number of records that they sell in Japan, and they tour to, like, these giant throngs, and then they come back here and they play House of Blues.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so weird how that happens.
So you talked with them, then, or Speech?
Yeah, I'll be running that probably a week from today.
Have you ever seen them?
I never have. I'm really excited to. That's what I've heard.
They're great. I've seen them twice. I saw them once on one of their own tours in Lollapalooza in 93? 94?
I was there in 94, so it was probably 93.
Yeah, 93. And they were great.
You know, that whole kind of 90s, right before the gangster rap took off, you had that, you know, those very musically inclined, very socially conscious.
PM Dawn.
And De La Soul and Tribe Called Quest and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think Arrested Development gets their due.
No, they don't. They're terrific. They're great.
Yeah.
And, Dion Ferris had a bit of a solo career as well.
I don't think people even realize she's singing on Tennessee.
Yeah, that's her. And she did a solo, she released a solo record, and I saw her at Double Door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a cool venue for that.
She was great. She had that once on, Know What You Doin'. Yeah, that was her only big hit. But and it was funny because I was at the show with my first wife, and we were there, and I was just smoking then.
Sure.
And I had a cigarette, and her guitarist came up to me and said, "Hey, man, can I bum a smoke?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So Dion Ferris' guitarist bummed a cigarette from me. So there you go. That's my claim to fame.
Double Door. Pour some out.
Double Door. That's right. Okay. Hang on a second. Jim Ryan is here. We got a lot more to talk about. Lots of interviews, and the rundown for Taste
is surprisingly great.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. So there's a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up, and then more with Jim Ryan talking music right here on WGN. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. More after the news. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 2 for Tuesday, get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, get them in now. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We will be debuting our new game called For the Record, and Skip Skipley is continuing to be our host with the most. That's coming up, and we're also going to talk about the best and most memorable Saturday Night Live musical guest performances. And speaking of music, music journalist Jim Ryan is with us. He writes for the Daily Herald. You can read his Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night, and he does traffic at various outlets. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Before the break, we were talking about that you interviewed Rick Astley and talking about his longevity.
Uh-huh.
And that he retired at one time. And now you interviewed Kevin Martin.
I did.
From Candlebox.
Right.
Who had the one album in the early 90s, really, and that was about it, right?
You know, they've released, they just put out an album, and I think it's their sixth or seventh studio album, so there's been subsequent releases, but yeah, most...
It was just that one breakthrough record.
That's
pretty much
about
it. It was like 93, like that, yeah.
Yeah, because they're on the 25th anniversary of 93.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
So Kevin Martin, is they're doing a Candlebox acoustic show, or they did a Candlebox.
Yeah, they did two nights at House of Blues. Sold it out. Where do you stand on Candlebox, by the way?
I don't.
Okay.
I had the record because everybody did.
Sure.
It's not one that was in heavy rotation for a long period of time.
Yeah, that one
There's
song.
A lot of other early... Yeah, what was there?
Far Behind.
That's it, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that one still is.
Yeah. But that's not one of those... That album's not one that stands up from that time period for me.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, they're such an anomaly out of that Seattle scene, too, because, you know, he even referenced this in the interview. He's like, you know, grunge or whatever you want to call that scene. We were not a grunge band. We were, he called it a blues-based rock band. But, mm-hmm. I would think they were a rock band more in the vein of, you know, some of the popular classic rock.
Yeah.
But they were not Nirvana or Alice in Chains or Pearl Jam or Soundgarden.
And the fact that they got lumped in wasn't fair to them because it was a different kind of
And then they got
of
derided
music.
For it, too.
Yeah, like, I know.
Because, you know, they were still rocking the long hair and all of that stuff.
Right.
It was kind of ridiculous, some of the criticism of them. But he was really fascinating because he kind of broke down what it was like trying to emerge from the Seattle scene with that sound in particular, because they didn't sound like those other bands. And then trying to adapt now, after selling millions of records, to an era where A, no one's buying records, and B, they can't, you know, they're not opening for Rush anymore. They're not playing giant places.
Right. They opened for Rush?
They did.
Wow.
The lead singer, Kevin Martin, is from Elgin, which I didn't know.
He is?
Yeah, he's from Elgin. He grew up in Elgin, so he had very fond memories of playing all these different shows here, be it, you know, the Aragon down to the Cubby Bear.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Interesting, yeah.
So it was the most fun interview. Did you see the show?
I didn't get to make it over there.
Oh, okay.
But I saw them at Cubby Bear a couple of years ago, and they were good.
Okay, cool. Now, in addition to interviewing musicians and stuff,
yes.
you interviewed Arsenio Hall?
Yeah, that's the second time I've had him. I love Arsenio Hall, by the way.
And he played at Zany's.
So he's been doing stand-up now for the last year and a half or so. Last year he was at City Winery, and then this past couple of weeks
Zany's.
Ago, he was at Zany's.
In Rosemont, which is a great room.
And he's got a really interesting connection to Rosemont. You know, when he got started doing stand-up, we didn't have that nationwide stand-up circuit we have now.
No, right.
You had stand-up in New York, L.A., and Chicago. So he was living in Cleveland. His mother lived on the Northwest Side, so he moved here so that he could start doing comedy in Rosemont. He referenced a club that was there at the time on River Road called the Comedy Womb, which is right down the street from where Zany's is at now.
Yeah.
So it was almost a homecoming of sorts, him coming back to do stand-up comedy in Rosemont.
He spent time here? I didn't know that.
He did. Significant time. He had all kinds of stories about his ties to the Chicagoland area. It was really amazing.
Wow.
He said he met Jay Leno for the first time at a now-defunct club in Lyons. he was the one sent to run to the airport to pick him up.
Uh-huh.
So it was real interesting. He's got a lot of ties to Chicago. His first paid gig was at the Hyatt Regency, O'Hare. He was opening for the Emotions.
What?
And Stevie Wonder was in the crowd. So he told me the story of, like, he goes, it's my first gig. I get a check. I meet Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
That's a night.
What room did they play in?
The Blue Max.
The Blue Max at the Hyatt Regency,
uh-huh.
O'Hare.
That's what he said.
Wow.
So he told the story of being in a hotel room with the Emotions and with Stevie Wonder until like 4 in the morning. And he said Stevie Wonder was unbelievable because by the end of the night, he had memorized the room and would walk around it as if he could see.
Wow. Well, that's a great story.
Just to screw
with people. He opened for the Emotions.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
His first paid gig.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Wow. Well, Arsenio, did you go to see him at Zany's?
I saw him at City Winery last
year. Oh, City Winery, yeah.
And he was good because he's, you know, he gets kind of political because, you know, he had, you know, that infamous moment with Bill Clinton on his show.
Yes.
The saxophone.
Yes,
so he knows Hillary.
Yeah.
He also
was on Celebrity Apprentice.
So he knows Trump.
Yep.
And so he tells a lot of those stories about both of them during his set.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was good.
All right. Very cool. We heard some sad news, music news, you know, since the last time we talked. Huey Lewis canceled his tour.
That's, you know, that, and I've seen him talk, too. That's such a sad...
It's terrible.
He can hear in conversation, he can hear everything, but he can't hear music, so he can't perform.
It's so terrible. I mean, because I happen to be an unabashed Huey Lewis
fan. I enjoy Huey Lewis.
And I think he's great.
Me too.
And I've always liked him, always, even when it was, you know, when it wasn't cool to like Huey Lewis. There was a long period of time when it wasn't cool to like Huey Lewis.
I think some people would tell you right now.
Right now it's not cool, but I just don't. I don't buy that at all.
I don't either.
I think he's great. And by the way, I'm screening Back to the Future on June 12th on the big screen.
I'll be there for that.
You got to be there for that one, man, because it's Zemeckis Fest.
Oh,
we're showing all Robert Zemeckis movies all summer,
and I haven't seen it on the big screen in so long. Obviously,
it's going to be so great. We showed Used Cars.
I have never seen Used Cars.
Oh,
and I was going to go to that one, and I was working late.
You oh. If you rent it, if you've never seen it, it's so funny. And then in June, we got Back to the Future. July, we're doing Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Working on August, hopefully, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
Hopefully. But anyway, so there's a connection. But that's really sad about Huey Lewis. It makes me sad.
And then I saw him say that they're telling him it could come back at any time. He just kind of has, it's a wait and see type of thing.
Is that right?
You know, he's not getting any younger, obviously. So it was really, you could tell he was pretty emotional talking about it, too. It was sad.
Yeah. Now, I love Huey. I always have. You ever see him live?
I never have. No, and that's a friend of mine is a bartender at Murphy's Bleachers and was telling the story. Huey Lewis opened for Buffett last summer at Wrigley and told the story of serving Huey a beer and Huey looking down at his watch and going, well, I guess they're gonna have to wait on the opening set because he was still at Murphy's drinking a beer when he was supposed to be on stage.
That endears Huey to me even more,
like,
man.
I was like, no, I really like this guy.
All right.
But he was supposed to be a Taste of Joliet and it got canceled.
Yeah.
I think Rick Springfield is filling in, I think.
Wow, okay.
Which is not
quite.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Rick Springfield. He's fine.
He's fine.
I mean, he was in that in Dave Grohl's movie.
Yes. He's actually surprisingly
they went nut. They went nuts over him in the movie. And what the hell was the name of that movie? Record City. Record City. But yeah, but like the appearance of Rick Springfield. I mean, Dave Grohl like worshiping Rick.
Yeah.
That, and he kicked ass in it, actually.
He was surprisingly good.
Yeah. That was a good movie, Record City. That was a good movie.
That was very good.
Okay, I have not watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions.
Oh, God, me neither.
For this year,
I might be done watching them.
You got to remind me who got inducted this year. Moody Blues, right?
Moody Blues, one of your favorites, Bon Jovi.
Oh God, that's right.
Bon Jovi went in.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Bon Jovi going in before Warren Zevon has ever even been.
It's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous.
But this is kind of what happens when you allow fans to start voting, because last year it was Journey and this year it's Bon Jovi.
Right.
Dire Straits.
And Knopfler didn't show up.
Yeah, and then they had nobody to induct them, which I think was a first. Nobody inducted them. The band just kind of came up and accepted the award.
That's horrible. Why?
And then there was speculation online that Knopfler had convinced anyone who was approached to not do it. So Mark's brother was there.
Sure.
And he was on stage, and they accepted the award and everything. But
did
there was
they
nobody,
do any songs?
There was nobody to induct them, and I don't even know if they played in the closing jam. It
That's
was ridiculous.
Every year, so this, ridiculous.
This event seems to get more and more ridiculous to me every year.
That's really insane.
Yeah, the big thing that they were promoting was the fact that Richie Sambora showed up with Bon Jovi and played with Bon Jovi. When you're hanging your hat on that.
Yeah. But Sambora's here. That's the best.
Like, that's so bad.
Was it I the year that that Steve Miller got inducted, he went nuts.
He did. He was ripping everyone a new one.
Yeah. Good old Steve Miller.
Showed up just so he could do that,
right?
Basically.
Exactly. That's what Well, I haven't, I mean, it's on the HBO on demand. I may turn it on.
The highlight of the whole thing to me sounded like Howard Stern inducted Bon Jovi, and apparently that was funny.
Okay, well,
but
I can see that.
He was upset because they edited
of
him
course he
when
was.
They aired it.
Of course. Of course. So. Howard Stern was upset about something?
Surprised
he
by
was,
that.
He,
yeah.
was, he was upset that they cut his part? Oh, that's a shock.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. So the Taste of Chicago. The lineup.
It doesn't suck for once.
So what's tell me a little bit, because I got the whole thing here.
You know, it's gotten kind of depressing in the last few years where, you know, they charge for the seats now, which is fine, but you don't. There's been a couple sets I've been to where it's kind of sparsely populated as far as attendance.
Well, you know, it used to be free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I...
And the lawn is still free.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've been to many shows mm-hmm. during Taste over the years.
I mean,
I was at the infamous Replacements.
I'm so jealous of that,
when they
by the way.
Switched instruments and broke up mm-hmm. on stage. It was fantastic. That was July 4th, 1991.
Right.
And it poured earlier in the day, and then it was like 150 degrees after that. And we were all out there. It was phenomenal. It was one of the best, and it was free.
Yeah,
and it was packed. And it was history. Like, we witnessed history. Like,
right.
The Mats broke up on stage.
I remember, you know, I remember seeing Wilco when they were in the midst of filming the documentary, and they were premiering those songs basically for the first time off Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, and it was fantastic. And then it's like fast forward a couple years later, and, you know, there's a couple hundred people there for Aaron Neville. I was like, this is so sad.
Yeah, I know. When they used to have like some great shows during Taste at the Petrillo. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll go down the schedule for Taste of Chicago and talk a little bit more about any other music stuff that we want to get to. And what's coming up for you? Who you're going to see? And you got some concerts coming up?
You know, we've got a ton of good ones this week and next week.
Okay.
Hall & Oates Friday at United Center.
They're playing United Center?
Yeah. U2 is in town, two shows
next week. Yeah, I know about that. But Hall & Oates is playing the United Center?
The only unfortunate part of this is the opener.
Who is it?
Train.
God. All right, let's take a break. On that note, let's take a break. All right, when we come back, more with Jim Ryan. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan, and we'll give you the whole rundown for Taste of Chicago and some of the upcoming concerts that you can see in the next few days or weeks. All right, right here on 720 WGN. Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue here. And Jim Ryan is with us, a music journalist, writes for the Daily Herald. His Chicago Now blog is Chicago at Night. And you can hear him do traffic for various outlets as well. Follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before the break, we were talking about how over the years, the Taste of Chicago music lineup has been pretty sad.
It has been.
But this year, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good lineup.
I love it. I think there's a lot to love this year.
Let's go through it.
Getting started, I think, with Brandi Carlile. Are you familiar with her?
No.
She's so fantastic.
Not related to Belinda, is she?
She is not.
Okay.
But an equally powerful singer-songwriter in her own regard.
Right.
But she's terrific, very, very topical, too, at the moment. So that's a fantastic way to kind of get things started.
And that's on the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We've got on Friday the 13th, wow, I didn't catch that, Black Star, mm-hmm. which is Mos Def and Talib Kweli.
Yep, that's cool, man.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
We've got on Saturday, July 14th, Le Butcherettes, an artsy indie punk female fronted duo. They're really, really cool. I saw them at Do Division a couple years ago.
Okay.
And they were awesome. They're opening for the Flaming Lips.
Yeah, the Lips, man.
How cool is that?
That's cool. So there's going to be a big plastic ball
rolling around
on top of the crowd.
Van show.
Exactly.
It's Sunday. You've got BJ the Chicago Kid, who's local, which is cool, and opening for George Clinton in Parliament Funkadelic.
You can never go wrong with that, man.
You know, and he just announced he's retiring. You know, he's retiring from the touring part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So this could very well be the final Chicago.
And by the way, if you've never seen...
Oh, my God.
If you've never seen them, it's a must. Seriously, it's a must.
He's, you know, he still gets it done.
Yeah.
I've interviewed him a couple of times, and I'm always amazed by how coherent he is in 2017, 2018.
Yeah. So, well, those are your big ones. And it's weird because when I remember years and years ago, the Taste was always centered around the 4th of July.
Right.
And then that all...
Yeah, they've kind of changed all of that.
They've totally changed that, yeah. Because, you know, there would be millions of people downtown for the free concert and the fireworks, and it would be a madhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't move down here. But yeah, they've moved the scheduling around a little bit.
Yeah, it felt for a couple of years there like maybe they were just seeding that audience to Summerfest. I don't know, but it's nice to see some strong bookings this year.
Yeah, that's not, you know,
I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, some really good artists. That's very cool.
Yeah,
it's very, very, very cool. Now, what's coming up? You said okay. So U2 is playing this. Is it this weekend?
U2 is next week. They're
next
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday at
United Center.
At the United Center.
There's a cool show coming up Friday as well. Their grand opening, Gallagher Way, which is that new plaza outside Wrigley Field.
Oh, okay.
They're booking ticketed concerts in there now, so you do have to buy a ticket, but the record company and real estate are the first one of the season,
wow.
And that's Friday night as well.
Why is it called Gallagher?
I don't know, but that is what they're calling it.
Gallagher Way?
Yeah, I kept seeing it popping up in my emails. I'm like, what is Gallagher Way?
But that's, what does that that's have to do with Wrigley? What does that have to do with the neighborhood?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I wish I could answer.
I mean,
that.
Are they gonna, or does the, do the bands have to smash watermelons when they play
that
the
would be fantastic. Would is there a house sledge-o-matic that everyone uses?
Yeah. The sledge-o-matic.
They keep that for just such, you know,
yeah.
events.
Gallagher Way.
Yeah, right. That's what they're calling that.
That's interesting. Boy, I'll tell you, at least, you know, Jim, I don't get to Wrigley very often anymore.
Right.
But when I do, venture into that neighborhood,
do you even recognize it?
No, I mean, I grew up seven blocks away from Wrigley, so you know, on Addison, I lived on Addison, and I don't know what the hell's going on now. The last time I went past there not too long ago. We drove past there, and I didn't know what was going on. The last time I was, in Wrigley, was for Pearl Jam.
Okay,
so that was and that was a couple of years ago. You know, in 2016,
right,
when they played, and it was different then, but it's even now. It's like every 3 weeks something new pops up.
I tell friends who come in from out of town that you're just not even going to recognize it, because I only made one Cubs game last year, and I remember within the last month or two stepping off the Addison bus to hit Metro and just looking around.
No, like, idea what's I know, it's so insane.
The giant high-rise building and everything there.
It's incredible. I mean, it's really incredible what they've done. And, you know, obviously that even got crazier when they won the World Series. Once you win the World Series, it's like, okay, we got to build up even more stuff here. So I miss the old days, man. Yum Yum Donuts, McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, even older days, where the McDonald's once was, used to be a thing called Franksville.
Okay,
and it was a hot dog.
I remember this.
Hot dog. This is when I was a kid, so this was in the '70s and the early '80s. It was a hot dog joint. There's one at Addison and Harlem. There's still a Frank, right, Dan? Isn't the one there at Addison and Harlem? Franksville. It's a hot dog place with the logo is a crazy chain conductor.
Wow.
And it was a place we used to go there. We used to go there before the games all the time. And is Taco Bell still there?
I don't even know now.
I don't even know if it's still there. I don't even know. By the way, it's a corporate sponsorship. Gallagher is a company that deals with insurance, risk management, and consulting.
Oh, there you go.
That's exciting.
Good to know.
What else is coming up? We got a couple of minutes here.
You know, I wanted to tell you that I was looking forward to coming in here tonight and telling you about the Mother's Day weekend I spent with Andrew WK and Tom Jones. But then that didn't happen because Tom Jones had to cancel his already rescheduled concerts.
Wait, he canceled his Mother's Day show?
He canceled Saturday and Sunday, throat infection, doctor's orders.
Oh, man.
I was really, really looking forward to coming in here with stories of Tom Jones' Mother's Day.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, they hyped the hell out of it. They must have canceled at the last minute.
So, Saturday night, the doors opened at 6:30.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Show started at 8. You had 1,500 people in the House of Blues.
Oh,
and
my God.
They called it at 10 after 8.
Oh, man. Yeah. What a mess.
So, I had tickets for Sunday, and then I was watching, like, are we going to do this? And at, I think, about 4 o'clock, he finally tweeted that it was canceled under doctor's orders.
That sucks. That's terrible.
Yeah. So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But,
well, have you ever seen Tom Jones?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
So, you know, and I had no idea. It was at House of Blues when I saw him.
Yeah.
I did not realize that it wasn't just a joke about the panty throwing.
Oh, no. And that's a real thing. That's been a thing since the late 60s.
Well, like, I'd heard the stories and just thought it was more of a joke. But, I mean,
here's a quick story here. Tom Jones obviously used to have his own variety show in the 70s, okay? My mom loves Tom Jones and loved him so much back in the 70s when he had the hair and the bulge and the whole thing. And every week when the Tom Jones show ended, my mom would be on the phone with her friend talking about it. And I just remember, I mean, this is my mom was probably, at this time, she was probably like early 30s, maybe.
Okay.
So it was like right at the, or late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like this, you know, two women are going, two housewives are like, oh my God, did you see Tom Jones tonight? So, and Andrew WK, you met before, though.
Him I've interviewed. But Tom Jones, when I was hosting a radio show at Columbia College.
Yeah.
Their format at the time was like dance and house and everything.
Yeah.
And it was all run off these CDs that would just skip horribly. Like, you could not make it through, not just a show, you couldn't make it through an hour without a song skipping. So I was hosting mornings with my friend Keith.
Yeah.
And our shtick became one of the songs that was in our playlist at the time at Columbia College was the Tom Jones DJ Moose T remix of Sex Bomb.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So our shtick became that, because that CD would not skip. that anytime something skipped, we would just turn it off in the middle of it and put on Sex Bomb. And so we would play Sex Bomb like 10 times, you know.
That's outstanding.
For a show.
That's a great story, man.
Yeah.
Great. All right, Jim, always a pleasure, man.
Thank
I know you're keeping busy, and we'll get you in here again, you know, like before the big summer craziness starts. Jim Ryan, you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. Read Chicago Now blog at Chicago at Night and in the Daily Herald. And where can they see you and hear you do traffic?
I was on CLTV this past weekend, okay. So some more stuff, NBC5 occasionally.
All right.
And some radio.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so
all right, Jim, always a pleasure, man.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.